Good morning, my brothers and sisters in the Episcopal branch of the Jesus Movement. This morning, if I'm not careful, I just might get into some good trouble. I'm not going to talk today about the specific scriptures that were read. I'm well aware that that is what is expected of me, and that is normally what is done. But this morning, I'm going to be different, even rebellious. But I'm comfortable in being untraditional this morning. I'm comfortable with it in large part because of the historical models I have. You see, the greats that have served my God have challenged traditions and customs. Martin Luther King was told in writing by Birmingham's religious leaders that demonstrating to demand the God-given rights of Black people was not a good thing to do. They said, not now. That's right, eight clergy people, including two bishops of the Episcopal Church, told Martin Luther King to delay his fight for the same rights and privileges that those white clergy themselves enjoyed. That letter to Martin Luther King was a catalyst for King's letter from a Birmingham jail and the book, Why We Can't Wait. And Martin King stood up in righteous indignation and in direct defiance of religious leaders. He marched, he protested, he went to jail, and he prevailed. And 450 years before Martin Luther King penned his letter from a Birmingham jail, his namesake, Martin Luther, penned his 95 Theses, which openly called out abusive priests in the church and was an implicit defiance to the authority of the Pope. So I'm in good company when I break with tradition. And of course, there's Jesus. Jesus told the church that they had it backwards, that the law was to serve man. Man was not to serve the law. Jesus, in open defiance to the teaching and practice, said that the law is a means by which we serve God. The law itself was not to be served. My Jesus went into the temple and turned tables upside down. And then my Jesus set a new priority for the church. He told religious leaders that all they believed in, all they held to be sacred, all they preached about was subservient to love. That was new, defiant, and revolutionary concept. Jesus proclaimed in the words of my buddy, John O'Donnell, that love is our new song. So I'm going to get in some good trouble this morning. There are two dates, two anniversaries that I could not let go by without speaking to them. The first is the first anniversary of the murder of George Floyd on May 25th. The other is the 50th anniversary of the release on May 21st of Marvin Gaye's profound album, What's Going On. A year ago, this nation and the world was swept by feelings of righteous indignation over the murder of George Floyd. It symbolized, at least for a moment, all that was wrong about racism and brutality in the United States. Officer Chauvin's behavior was so brash and so brutal that no rational person could deny the reality of it. Chauvin seemed to taunt the crowd with his absolute privilege and invincibility as a white cop. He flaunted his disregard for the value of Black life. And what ensued was an eruption of self-examination, protests, and reaching out from coast to coast and around the world. White people were shocked into seeing something that was obvious to people of color all along. People who had consistently manifested a misunderstanding of or opposition to the mantra Black Lives Matter suddenly proclaimed it as their own. No longer did they respond with All Lives Matter. They got that if your life is valued, you don't have to proclaim it. It is a given. It is assumed. It is only when the value of your life is in question that you have to declare it. The reaction to the Floyd murder was strong and widespread. NASCAR, of all organizations, banned the display of Confederate flags from all their events and properties. Roger Goodell, commissioner of the National Football League, issued an apology to his players for not listening to NFL players earlier and encouraged all to speak out and peacefully protest. The United States Soccer Federation repealed a rule requiring players to stand during the national anthem. The Boy Scouts of America made a new diversity inclusion merit badge a requirement for the rank of Eagle. the heads of state of no less than 13 countries, spoke out in condemnation in response to the murder. The African Union, the European Union, and the United Nations all spoke out in protest. The United States Army, Marines, and Navy all prohibited the display of the Confederate flag in its facilities. White people were protesting in public and reaching out in private, trying to understand, trying to cope with what was before them. Many of you will remember that I share part of my life with you in an attempt to give you just a glimpse of racism from my side of the fence. And now, here we are a year later. Let's take a look at what has transpired over a course of a year. Since George Floyd's murder last May, 181 Black people in the United States have been killed by the police, according to data from the research group Mapping Police Violence. Of the 966 police killings reported since May 25th, 2020, the database shows that Black people accounted for 18% of the killings, despite making up 13% of the population. Conversely, police killings of white victims made up 37% of the total deaths. White Americans are 76% of the population. Data shows that police are still killing at rates similar to past years and that 319 people have been killed by police in 2021. Yes, my brothers and sisters, it doesn't appear as though anything has changed. Chauvin was charged with the murder of George Floyd, and on April 20th, he was convicted. The conviction was met with euphoria. Cries of justice have been served were heard across the nation. Statements that this is a new beginning were repeated over and over. Hope was proclaimed that police across the country would see the light and change their ways. Talk of Black men having less fear for their lives at the hands of law enforcement could be heard. But I'm about to get in some good trouble because I'm about to quote an active politician during this sermon. Soon after the verdict was read, Joe Biden, legitimately and handily elected 46th president of the United States, Joe Biden. Uncle Joe Biden said, let's also be clear that such a verdict is all much too rare. For so many people, it seems like it took a unique and an extraordinary convergence of factors. A brave woman with a smartphone camera, a crowd that was traumatized witnesses, a murder that lasted almost 10 minutes in broad daylight for ultimately the whole world to see. Police officers standing up in court and testifying against a fellow officer instead of just closing ranks. A jury who heard the evidence, carried out their civic duties in the midst of an extraordinary moment, under extraordinary pressure. For so many, it feels like it took all of that for the judicial system to deliver a just and just basic accountability. For all the elation about the Chauvin verdict, I have one question. Exactly how low can you set the bar? If a guilty verdict in this case is cause for celebration, then just how pervasive and accepted and expected is racism and the devaluation of Black life in America? Our national response to the Chauvin verdict is a tragic indictment of the level of morality in this country. 50 years ago, Marvin Gaye released his visionary What's Going On album. The title song begins with Mother, 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 there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Marvin sees a nation that has intense problems and issues, a nation that is overwhelmed by depression and hatred. And being the true Christian that he is, says he knows the ultimate solution to the problem. The second song is set in a coming home party for a Vietnam vet. The title, What's Happening, Brothers, a greeting that is common amongst Black folks, but it had particular meaning during the Vietnam era. Black men who did their duty And when Tanam came back with this illusion that somehow the nation would treat them with gratitude and honor. And blacks were far more likely than whites to get drafted, to go to Nam and be killed. While black boys were doing their duty and going to Nam, privileged white boys were getting their deferments and going to college or working in daddy's businesses and staying home because of a bone spur. In many cases, bone spurs that required no medical attention. In 1967, blacks constituted approximately 11% of the US population, yet we represented 16% of all draftees and 23% of all combat troops in Vietnam. In 1965, blacks accounted for nearly 25% of all combat deaths in Vietnam. When they returned home, they were different people and they somehow expected a different nation, but they were confronted with the same ghettos, the same poverty, the same racism. In this album, Marvin Gaye proclaims the pervasive issues he sees confronting American society, sexuality and identity, racism, police brutality, trigger happy police, poverty, drug addiction, destruction of the planet God gave us. 50 years later, do any of these issues strike a chord with anyone listening? And by the way, I will be so happy to preach in church and look in your faces, because I'm wondering right now if anybody out there is actually hearing me. Does anybody else find this list of major concerns eerily relevant to this country today? And Marvin asked the question out of his desperation, who really cares? Who is willing to try to save a world that is destined to die? The title song starts out as a question, and the album becomes a prayer. Martin loves God and Jesus. Marvin loves God and Jesus. He tells us God is love, but he is confused as to why a God of love would tolerate what he sees around him. He laments that Jesus said he would have returned, but that was a long time ago. Marvin says, all God asks of us is that we give each other love. That's all. Marvin asks in anguish, why is this such a difficult proposition, such an impossible task to simply love one another? Marvin Gaye was a man with demons, no doubt. Marvin Gaye was overwhelmed with depression and fear and talent and concern and the love of God. Marvin tells us that God is love. He tells us, he pleads with us to come together. But for all the beauty and genius and courage manifested by the record, there's a tragedy for this work in the year 2021. 50 years after its creation, it is still relevant. Why are we asking the same questions in 2021 that Marvin asked in 1971? Now, I am not suggesting that there has not been change in this country over the past 50 years. There's been tremendous progress on many fronts. I recognize that. In the last 50 years has seen an emergence of a widespread Black middle class. Blacks can now be seen in much larger numbers and positions of authority. We had the Obamas, a real Black family, in the White House. As opposed to overtly opposing Blacks obtaining their God-given rights, the Episcopal Church now seems supportive. And every time I drive through the center of Glastonbury and see Black boys and girls together with white boys and girls laughing and holding up their Black Lives Matter signs, I see tremendous progress and I have hope. My point this morning is that there's still a lot of work to do. Do not become complacent. Do not be fooled by the post-Chauvin verdict declarations of a new era of policing in America. See the Chauvin verdict for what it is, the convergence of an extraordinary set of events and circumstances that resulted in an inescapable conclusion. See the Gaye album as a reminder that the same issues that we confronted 50 years ago, we confront today. America may be, as some say, in the midst of a racial reckoning, But even if we are in the midst of a racial reckoning, we are not near a resolution of the racial problem. It is up to us to change this nation and the world. If not the people of Jesus, then who? It is up to us. We, as the people of Jesus, know the power of love and the devastation of hate. It is up to us. In the words of Bishop Curry, being a Christian is not essentially about joining a church and being a nice person, but about following in the footsteps of Jesus, taking his teachings seriously, letting his spirit take the lead in our lives, and in so doing, helping to change the world from our nightmare and to God's dream. Amen.